And I appreciate their hard work, their dedication to the Lord, their faithfulness in serving Him. And I was so much looking forward to coming back and hearing them today. And I appreciate their heart for the Lord and serving Him. Let's take our Bibles today, if you will, and go to the book of Acts. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 this morning. You know, you think about as you come back, I've been thinking for 9 weeks, what am I going to preach on the first Sunday back? You know, preachers think about stuff like that. And, you know, you think, and you just, well, you got to wait until the Lord directs. And I always, you know, wait and try to say, God, you know, what do you want? What do you want me to say? And we have a great God. And if we'll just do what they just sang about, just be still and wait on Him and listen to Him. During this 9 week period, it's an opportunity for you to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, spend time with Him, spend time in prayer, spend time in your Bibles, to grow. And it's no accident, you know, God has a plan and a purpose. I would ask today that you pray earnestly, though, for our country, our nation, pray for our president, pray for those 30 cities or however many it is that are going through this rioting, all that's going on out there. It's a horrible thing. I cringe when I see that, and it's not over yet. And, you know, and so there's a lot to pray for. Pray for our president, our leaders, our mayors, our governors that are trying to make decisions. Pray for the safety of our police officers, our firemen, those that serve in positions of leadership. Pray for the two men that are in the SpaceX up in lodging in space. And that was an exciting thing to watch America at her best yesterday. Sending that rocket. Man, you talk about a ride. Wouldn't you like to be sitting on that rocket going up? I was watching the speed indicator, you know, starting out about 600 miles an hour. I kept watching that thing. Went all the way to 20,000 miles per hour. Try to get your mind around that. I feel the need for speed. Huh? Tom Cruise. I feel the need for speed. But pray for their safety. And that they'll be able to do and accomplish. We have, you know, great engineers, great people, great leaders, great, you know, can put something together like that and have that American independence and not depend on other countries and nations and be able to go there and do what they need to do. A lot of great things have come out of space technology that then filters into the American economy, and praise the Lord for that. It's exciting. So pray for those two astronauts that are there. Pray for our nation. Pray for these governors and these mayors ahead. Pray for our churches. You know, they're all starting to filter back now. Some started last week, some this week, some next week. And pray for our churches. They'll get back, that God's people will get back in God's house. They'll come back with a renewed vigor and a renewed energy and a renewed, you know, just a desire to go forward for the cause of Christ. I want to preach a message this morning in Acts chapter 11 on, you know, and I think about Acts 11, I think of the church at Antioch. And we're going to talk a little bit about Antioch here. You know, it was really the first church, the model church. It was the one that sent Paul and Barnabas and Silas and John Mark and all those out on the missionary journeys. It's the model church in the New Testament that became a model as they sent out and did their missionary work. And Antioch was a great New Testament church. It was a launching pad for worldwide missions at that time. And I think about the Christians that were there in that place. And I titled the message this morning, "What Kind of Christian Are You?" Do you ever step back and pause and think about what kind of Christian you are? You know, you can't change a person sitting beside you in the pew beside you and or at home or a relative. You can only, you know, I always look at, I just got to draw a circle around myself, and I got to work on me. I got to be the best that I can be. If you just focus on the best that you can be, what kind of Christian are? And by the way, you know, it's biblical from the standpoint, there is a day coming, my friend, that you and I, as believers in Christ, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer to God and give an account to Him for every word spoken, for every deed done, for the works done in this flesh. So, what kind of Christian are we? I want you to think about this in this text here in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. It said, "Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were of men of Cyprus and Cyrene, and which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I love that phrase there. With purpose of heart, intentional, they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus and for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's what I want to preach on today, is right there. The disciples were called Christians first. And wouldn't you like to be a member of that church? Here's the church that Stephen was at. Here's where Paul's at. Here's where Barnabas is at. Here's where Silas is at. Here, think about the Bible teaching and the bedrock of the Christian leaders they had there at the church of Antioch. But that was only for a short season, because God had a purpose. God was going to uproot them and begin to spread them throughout Asia Minor to preach the gospel. It's always about preaching the gospel and getting the good news of the gospel around the world. That story has never changed. That's still our mission today, same as it was at Antioch at that time. That's our responsibility. If we fail at that responsibility, then we have failed. That's why we do missions. That's why we try to get the gospel out wherever we can. That's the responsibility of the local New Testament church. And so what kind of Christian are you and I to be able to do that? I think the Bible addresses several different kinds of people in their Christianity. Let me show you one. Go back to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 15. And I would identify the first believer as maybe being the Christian, the believer that comes along that is unfed. Or he won't eat, or he, you know, the way I look at it, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not eating. If you're not in a Bible study somewhere, you're not eating. If you're not under corporate worship somewhere in the Lord's Word, you're not eating. You need to be fed. We all need to be fed the Word of God. And so, you know, we find here with Jeremiah, and you get down to, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, Jeremiah said, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So when you pick up your Bible, it's just not like you're picking up another book. You're picking up the Word of the living God, and it becomes food for your soul. It becomes food for your life. It becomes that which nourishes you and I. It is to encourage you and I. It is to convict us of our sin. It is to draw us closer to God, the written Word of God. So don't be one of those Christians that are unfed. You're starving yourself if you go week to week and you're not in the Bible. You're starving yourself if you're not under the teaching and preaching of the Bible. And you can study the Bible just like any preacher can, any evangelist can, any missionary can. Get in the Word and study it. And let the Holy Spirit feed you. And let the Word of God give you that which you need. So don't be that Christian that is an unfed Christian. Now, most Baptists that I know like to eat. Amen? Physical food. But I'd say more importantly than the physical food is we need to eat the spiritual food. So be fed. Make sure you feed yourself regularly, daily, regularly on a faithful basis. Go to Matthew chapter 20. I think the second kind of Christian that we can become if we're not careful is what would be referred to as a lazy Christian. He won't work. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a young man growing up, I did everything I could to figure out how to get out of work. You probably were not like that. And my father and I had different views in life. I like sports. I like motorcycles. I like stock cars. We had a stock car back then and we went to the racetrack every Friday night. And I like to have fun. I like to do all those fun things. My dad used to say, you're wasting your time, Rick. He said, it's more important. Come and work with me in the garden. Learn how to smell the dirt and work with the garden and plant this and do this. My dad grew up as a farmer. I used to hate it. He worked at the steel mill, so he'd leave me a note on the table. He said, before you decide to go play today, do this. And it was always work-related. We were taught how to work. Matter of fact, I'll never forget one time. My sister, Saturday at our place was work day. My sister and I had to work on that day, and my mother was in charge. And so you didn't have a choice. And, you know, I was one of those, I tried to turn the TV on to catch a few cartoons, catch a little bit of this or that or whatever. And she said, Rick, turn that TV off. It's time to go to work. So, you know, you typical young person, you know, you try to push the envelope a little bit and say, well, that means I got 5 more minutes. Now, that doesn't really mean that. I remember one day she went over and slapped that TV and turned that switch off, and she snatched me up. I must have been 9 or 10 years old, threw me over a recliner chair and started wailing on me to no end. And she said, I meant it's time to go to work. So we were always taught, and they always just say, well, work will never kill you. And, when we got to Bible college, I thought things would change. And then we get to Bible school, and Dr. Earl K. Odom, the president of our college, you know, he used to say, if you're sleeping past 5 o'clock in the morning, you're wasting time. He said, nobody needs more than 5 hours sleep a night. And I used to sit there and think, man, I do. We didn't in Bible school. We only lived on 4 to 5 hours a night, and you try to figure out how you're going to get through and do everything and keep everything up. And they were taught, Dr. Odom was one of those guys too, that taught, said, you know, don't be lazy. Go to work. Work never, you ever hear that? Work never killed anybody. So it's good to work. And the Christian, when you look at it here in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said this about working in his vineyard. He said, for the kingdom, in Matthew 20 verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, in which he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out in about the third hour, which would be about 9 o'clock in the morning, saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, that'd be about noon, about 3 in the afternoon, and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. And he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I did thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that there is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with thee, with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called and few chosen. So the parable of the vineyard here, it's interesting, as we go into the vineyard, we will, and we're commanded to work and to not be lazy. And he's never, when you look at it here, obeyed the command of Christ, son, go work in my vineyard today. Work while it is day. The night cometh and no man can work. It's interesting, you know. My wife was somewhere the other day, she was telling me in one of the stores, and somebody said to her, said, is the world coming to an end? Through a lot this last week, I think there's a lot of people thought about that. Is the world coming to an end? A lot of things going on, a lot of things happening around the world makes people sit back and realize and think about, you know, are we really getting closer to the end? Is time drawing? Well, we are. We're getting closer and closer. These are perilous times, without a doubt. So whatever you're going to do, you got to do it for the Lord and do it now. We've been given a little bit more time. Do it and do it wisely. Do it quickly. And be faithful in what you're getting, no matter what time of the day you start, at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock time of the day. And our reward, don't be the lazy Christian that won't work. Here's the third thought. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the third thought is what kind of Christian are you? Is don't be that worldly Christian that won't separate themselves. The Bible talks about separation. We need to be different than the world. We ought to think different than the world. We ought to act different than the world, and we ought not to carry out. There should be a distinct difference between how a Christian thinks and acts. than how the non-believer acts. And notice what he says here and to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 6:11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, but ye also enlarge. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Notice this now, for ye are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Should be separation, should be a separation from the world, especially when it comes to marriage and the family and the home. Don't be unequally yoked together. Should never be a believer and a non-believer coming together in holy matrimony. And you need to be careful and wise in your relationships with the non-believing world. Yes, we need to reach the non-believing world, but be careful that we also realize there needs to be a mark of separation, and there needs to be not attaining or doing or carrying out the worldly functions that they carry out. It's easy to understand that because we all came from the world. We're all saved from the world. And there was a time that we thought like that, acted like that, did that or whatever, and now you've been changed. Now you're a new creation in Christ. And so, don't be the unfed Christian. Don't be the lazy Christian that won't work. And for sure, make sure you're living a separated, consecrated, dedicated Christian life. Look in John chapter 11. And then the tied up Christian, in other words, one that will not yield themselves unto the Lord. John 11 and verse 44. Jesus gave us this. He said, he that was dead came forth and bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Talking about Lazarus here. A perfect picture of a tied up Christian is Lazarus. And going about with his grave clothes on, seeing him bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So realizing here, don't yield and get up and to go and to serve the Lord. And let me give you, then if you think about over in Joshua, go back to Joshua chapter 1 to the Old Testament. I realize we're all different personalities. There's some are extroverts, some are introverts. Some, are more social than others. Joshua, though, was the kind of person that he was not timid. Joshua chapter, look at it in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Got down to where he was. Remember, Joshua was so important. He was getting ready to go in to claim the promised land and to conquer the land he was going in and his family. And notice what he said in verse 9. He simply said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In other words, take a stand. And then I like what he said later on at the end of the book. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he laid those guidelines down for the nation of Israel. So don't be that timid Christian. You have, and you look at it, and I understand, sometimes there can be fear, and especially in testimony and witnessing and sharing the gospel, but you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can work in and through you. So he uses you and I to be able to share the gospel with others. And so we find here, don't be that timid Christian that won't take a stand for the cause of Christ. And for sure, you don't want to be then, if you will, number six, that defeated Christian. Well, you know what? That's a hard place to go. I don't know about you, but I think the most miserable person on earth is not the unsaved person, although you might think it would be. I think the most miserable person, probably internally within yourself, is the one that is saved and they know they're on the way to heaven, they know they're Christian, but for whatever reason, they've got discouraged, defeated, disheartened, and they're not right with the Lord in some ways or whatever, and they're struggling. God never intended for the Christian, for the believer, to be a defeated Christian. You and I serve a victorious and a great and grand God, and we ought to live joyfully and gleefully in Him each and every day, a defeated Christian life. And what does that come down to? It comes down to not trusting the Lord. There's times you got to trust the Lord. Totally trust Him. When you cannot see your way clear, when you don't have the answers, when you don't have the solutions, when you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what the future holds for tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month, trust God. Trust Him, and to realize that the defeated Christian just will not trust the Lord like he needs to. Don't live in that. The Bible's very clear. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thy ways. And so acknowledge Him and depend upon Him and have confidence in Him. And so Isaiah cried out, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one shall of these shall fail. He shall not fail nor be discouraged." Even the best of the best gets discouraged. Elijah did. Remember that? Elijah went in and stood toe-to-toe with Jezebel and Ahab and defeated the prophets of Baal and was really victorious, and then realizing that Jezebel was coming after him and his life was in danger. And oh, what would happen if Jezebel got a hold of him and she wanted to kill Elijah. So what did he do? He fled. He took off and he hid, went down by the brook Cherith, and there he waited and got discouraged and got despondent. And so the best of the best can get to that point where if you're not careful, you could be defeated or discouraged or disheartened. If Elijah could do that, we could do it. If Peter could do that, we could do that. But don't be defeated. And then I love the last one here. Let me show you this verse and we'll close with this here today. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Many of you very familiar with this verse in Philippians 4:13. That, and we're talking about now the victorious Christian, the one who will succeed. Success in the Christian life is not always a bed of roses. Success in the Christian life is not always seeing the way clear. The success in the Christian life is learning to trust the Lord in all things. Success in the Christian life is learning to lean upon Him. Philippians chapter 4, you get down to verse 13, the Bible is very clear, a real simple line, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so we find the victorious Christian living is realizing that I literally can do all things in Christ, whatever that is. And to have faith and to realize to have confidence in Him. And John the Beloved said this in 1 John 5, "This is the victory, even your faith that overcometh the world." You know, it's that faith that you and I are saved by. It's that faith that you and I live by. It's that faith that allows you and I to overcome the discouragement. It's that faith that allows you and I to conquer sin. It's that faith that allows you and I to get to the next level in our Christian life. It's our faith that allows us to get through this coronavirus thing. And I can't imagine how much fear. I don't know about you, but I sense or see that I think a lot of our media has driven a lot of America to panic and fear. And they're living in fear. And especially if you're in a non-believing world and you have no God to hang on to and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't understand the Bible, and you see all that coming on TV. And it's like the other day I told Nate, I said, you know, look, and that was going down in Minneapolis. I said, I wish Fox News, we was watching Fox News, I said, wish they'd just cut that cycle off, quit reshowing that and reshowing that and reshowing that. I said, there's people out there across America that are going to see that and they're going to react to that and it's not going to be good. I said, when it first happened, and I had no idea what was going to come. So when you think about it here, the victorious Christian living is to realize you and I can have a hope, and I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I do know this. God is on the throne. We need to trust Him. I don't know what the end result is going to be. God is on the throne. We need to trust Him. I don't know where you're at in your life, and today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should put total confidence and faith and trust in Him that God is absolutely in control, and the fear and panic should not be there. It should have total trust and confidence that no matter what happens, God is still God, and God is still on the throne, and He still loves His children, and He still is going to take care of you and I. Around the world, our God is not limited. Our God is a great God. We come to worship Him today. We come to pray. I don't know about you, but I was so excited to come back into the house of worship and this place. Now, we've been in and out of here for 9 weeks. You ought to come in here when nobody's here. It's quiet. It's dead. Sometimes, depending on what time of the day here, it can be a little eerie. Especially if you're in here at night and you come around a corner and you think the building's empty and somebody else comes around the corner. That's happened to me a couple times. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll get your blood pressure up real quick. But you know what? This building is not the church. This is the church. This is the living church of Jesus Christ. And we realize, my friend, that one day we're going to stand before Him and give an account. What kind of Christian are you? Live the victorious Christian life. Trust Him. God knows what He's doing, and He cares about you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. And God, today I just pray now that if there's one here that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God, today that they would open their heart and trust You before it's eternally too late. And God, many today come from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different things going on in their life. And we must ask the question, what kind of Christian are we? I think even more importantly, God, is what kind of Christian are we going to become? Are we going to feast ourselves upon the Word of God? Are we going to feast ourselves upon a prayer life? Are we going to feast ourselves upon total trust and confidence in You, God, that You knoweth all things and doeth all things? Well, we just need to follow You. The light of this world and the hope of this world is in Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so, God, may the church shine brighter now than it's ever shined before. And this world needs hope. This world needs answers. This world needs healing. They're only going to find that in You, God. We know that. There might be a Christian, a believer here today that just needs to trust You more. Their faith needs to be increased more. They may have saving faith, but maybe they're discouraged or defeated or disheartened. God, help our faith to grow. Help us to trust even more. And God, if there's one here that's not saved, that they'd come, let us take a Bible and show them how to come to a saving knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ today before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together today. We're going to give a verse of invitation. If you want to come to pray on your own, you can do that. If I can be of help to you, or one of our staff can be, we'd love to be able to do that. If you are interested in joining the church, we'd love to talk with you about joining First Baptist. Whatever the need of your heart, you follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. He'll tell you what to do. Brother Ron.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, Lord.
seat if you would just for a moment. All God's people said, amen. I told my wife, I said, I haven't taught or preached in 9 weeks. You know what that does to your vocal cords? And so anyway, we are glad today, excited today. Albert coming today. Help me pronounce, make sure I pronounce it right in the last name. McGannum. Come on, stand up here, brother. And Albert is saved, knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and has followed the Lord in baptism. Yeah, give him a hand. Amen. And he comes today to unite with the church and to make his membership here. And but there's also another blessing. He's getting married. Teresa, come on down. Can't you see this? Kind of a radiant glow. You know, so getting married 27th, correct? You're not backed out yet, have you?
No.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to be sure. So, yeah, give him a hand, would you? And we would ask you to pray for him June the 27th and their wedding coming up. But we're glad to accept him into the church membership. All those in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You can go ahead and have a seat. We're not going to shake hands. Here's going to be our handshake, if you will. We're doing this social distancing thing, so stick your right arm out, if you will. Go ahead, right now, all of you. Shake hands. We can't do that at the door, I guess. I hate that. I just absolutely hate it. So there's your handshake for the day, but be careful. Be safe out there, and just be wise in what you do. We'll get through this, amen? And the Lord will provide services tonight at 6 o'clock. Hopefully I got a voice. If not, Ron will be preaching. And But praise the Lord for today. Good to see you in the Lord's house today. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer if you would. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. You're a great God, and Father, we have so much to be thankful for. So Father, today we thank you for Albert coming today, letting us know that he is saved and baptized and now desires to unite with the church. We do pray for he and Teresa on June the 27th as they come together in the bonds of holy matrimony. God, that your hands, a blessing will be upon them. Father, I pray for each and every one that came to the altar today and shared their heart with you and whatever's going on, God, that you would meet that need. And God, help us to be the Christians that you want us to be. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be victorious. God, help us to trust you each and every day. We pray for our president today. We pray for our governors, our mayors. We pray for our police officers, fire department, the emergency people, those that are on the front lines. God, keep them safe. God, somehow, some way that this can get resolved to protect the American people. And our country can get back some order going forward, God. We know that you're not the author of confusion. Satan is. So, God, we turn all this over to you today, asking you to have a hand in all that's going on. And, God, we trust you and believe you for great things. In Jesus' name, amen. Good to see you. Have a great day.